2 Chronicles chapter 33. It is my intention, if you'd asked me several days ago, it wouldn't have been my intention, but it is my intention now to spend the next 3 or 4 weeks in the book of 2 Chronicles. We went to the Child Evangelism Fellowship, and they had two special speakers in the morning for 3 mornings in a row, and the one man got up and he asked us to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter, I guess it was 34. So he read and he preached concerning on that. And the next pastor got up and he said, turn, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And he said, the previous speaker just took everything I had to say. And he said, I can only draw one obvious conclusion. And he said, then you might ask, what was that obvious conclusion? And he says, you're not spending enough time in 2 Chronicles. So we're going to spend some time in 2 Chronicles, perhaps not a book that you would normally spend a lot of time in, but I'd like for you to, if you would, turn there, and we're going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Now, can you imagine this one? And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments, used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall outside, without the gate of the city of David, on the west side of Gion, in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altar that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto God, and the words of the seers that spoke to him in the name of the Lord, God of Israel. Behold, they are in the writings in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin and trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and set up groves and graven images, before he was humbled, before they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. And he humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that conspired against the king Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you that you would bless your word here this morning. I ask you, Lord, that it would have an impact and that it would change lives. And we'll give you the thanks and praise, for we know it is only of your work that can be done. Amen. As we look at this text this morning, I want to give you three things that I believe this text teaches us. There are many other things, but these are three that I'd like to emphasize this morning. The first thing that I'd like to emphasize is that if you will not listen to God easily, then God can and will do it the hard way. Look with me, if you will, at verse 10. We're talking about Manasseh. Manasseh, who reigned the longest of any king in Judah's or even Israel's history. And we see that in verse 10 it says that the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hear. They would not hearken. They would not listen. I want to talk to some of the young people this morning. Many of you, if not all of you, have been raised in a Christian home. You've been consciously given to God. Many of you have the symbol of God's family placed upon you. But you may not be living for God. You may be acting, you may be showing signs of godliness, you may be showing signs of obedience, but your heart is far from God and from your parents. You're just playing a game. And you may be able to be fooling your parents. And if we bring it to all of us can wear the garment. All of us can play the game. All of us can quote the scripture or sing the songs, but our hearts may be far from the Lord. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Hebrews chapter 12, 6. And you may think that you will turn to the Lord at a later time. And I don't mean to add to anybody's grief here this morning. But we heard of a family this morning just traveling, not going to a war zone, not going to a dangerous situation, just riding in their vehicle. Can I tell you, young person, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. And you don't know if you will get to be an old person or not. You may think, after I have my fun, I'll turn to the Lord. I'll obey the Lord. You're playing a very dangerous game on a lot of different levels. And the consequences may be greater than you think. It's a statement that's not original with me. but it's one that would be well for us to memorize and to know. It's not Scripture, but it's based upon Scripture. Sin will take you where you don't want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. The wages of sin is death. Now, I would be tempted to just stop there, but let me hasten to add, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is true not only for the youth, but to anyone at any stage of life. Sin will take you where you don't want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you far more than you want to pay. In Romans chapter 10, verse 21, it says, but to Israel, and I told the people in Sunday school, when you hear Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, just think the people of God. He says, but to Israel, but to the people of God, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying or a contrary people. It is dangerous to reject the call of the Lord. Look again at 2 Chronicles 33, verse 10. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Can I tell you this morning that God is speaking to you? I remember very early in the campaign, and I sort of have to focus on this because I've been so disappointed since that time, but I heard a political news commentator, ask the candidates for the president, said in the past there have been presidential candidates that said that they heard from the Lord. And they said, Mr. Cruz, can you tell me, have you heard from the Lord today? And he answered, and he answered it as well as anyone could have answered. He said, yes, I have. I hear from the Lord every day through his word. Folks, the Lord has spoken, and he is speaking today, and he's speaking through his word. And it is dangerous to reject the call of the Lord. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall abide on him. Can I just point out something to you that we didn't read? But if you look in the chapter just before it, Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. Do you know anything about Hezekiah? Hezekiah, listen, if you will, let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Let's listen to what the evaluation of Hezekiah was. In Hezekiah chapter 29, it says that, verse 1, he began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old and reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Now, I don't know, I will confess to you, but is it possible that that Zechariah had anything to do with the Zechariah that was the book is named after? We'll have to look at that later. Verse 2, and he did, that is Hezekiah, that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that is David, that David his father had done. And so the thing that we learn about Hezekiah is that he was pleasing to the Lord. He was a godly man. And if you go through and read the next two or three chapters, you will see. And if you go to the book of Jeremiah, you will see about the life of Hezekiah. And so Hezekiah was a godly man who had a son whose name was Manasseh, who was a wicked, wicked son. In fact, his wickedness exceeded the wickedness of all the other kings, and they were pretty wicked. So why was that? Why was Manasseh such a wicked man? And why was it that he, being the son of a righteous man, was a wicked man? We do not know the answer to that question. Was it that Hezekiah was an absentee father? That's possible. We were at that child evangelism conference, and there was a man who was the head of the Walk Through the Bible ministry, and they have people scattered throughout the world that teach the Bible and how the Bible all comes together. And he said there is a large percentage of children of Walk Through the Bible representatives that are wayward children, have walked away from the Lord. And he said, we have made it a dictate from the office that parents are to put their children first. You would think that should go without saying, but the people were so active and involved in the work of the Lord that they neglected their children. Was that the case? Well, Hezekiah was certainly busy in the reforms, in his service to the Lord, but ultimately we don't know. But it is true of many godly people. Or was it just that Manasseh was a child that wanted his own way and to do his own thing? That's a possibility. So the first thing that I want us to see this morning is that if you will not listen to God easily, God can do it the hard way. Look with me, if you will, in verse 11. It says, "Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Jerusalem, to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father." I am told that when he was taken away to Babylon, they put a ring in his nose like you do a cow or an ox and led him around by that. And it was then and there that he understood, he was humbled before the Lord. And we see in verse 13 it says, "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father." This week while we were up there, we had one of the preachers said something that I've said on many, many occasions, and it just rejoiced my heart, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established. But he was saying, you know, when I was a teenager, he said, I was raised in a Christian home, and at 4 or 5 years of age, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoiced that I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, there was never a time that I remember that I didn't love the Lord. There was never a time that I remember that I didn't want to serve the Lord. And he said, you know, but when I became a teenager, he said, all the people that got the attention were the ones that said, oh, I did drugs and I was immoral and I did this and I did that and I did the other thing. And I was, the Lord saved me from this, those things. He said, I didn't have to go through those things. I had a far greater testimony of those things. Well, we have Manasseh. It seems that Manasseh lived a life of debauchery for many, many years, and that God had to take him into captivity, and that he had to suffer many problems and difficulties as a result, and he comes to know the Lord. And that's the second thing that I want to, for us to take from this text. Not only that if you will not listen easily to what God says, that he can and will take and bring you into affliction so that you will look up. But the second thing that I want you to understand and know is that you're never too wicked to turn to the Lord. You're never too wicked to turn to the Lord. I believe that is a lie from Satan. That is an accusation that there's young people that are especially in Christian homes that have done some wicked things. And to them, what is wicked may be to the world not so wicked, but because of their training and their understanding, they say, how can God ever forgive me for this or that or the other thing. Can I tell you this morning, if God can forgive Manasseh, he can forgive you. And don't buy into the lie that God can't forgive me because of what I do. And you don't have to be a child to buy into that. Each of us can buy into it. I've done something too gross, too heinous, too wicked that God could ever, and I don't deserve to be forgiven. Can I give you a little secret? None of us deserve to be forgiven. None of us deserve the grace of God. Because if we deserved it, it's no longer, according to Romans, grace. Okay? All of us are a child of God because of God's grace, because of what God has done for us. But Satan takes and uses this perversion and says, oh, you can't be forgiven because you've done this, that, and the other thing. Can I tell you this morning that God's grace is sufficient no matter what you've done? And if you are a child and you may not be wicked on the outside, but you're wicked on the inside, can I tell you this morning, God's grace is sufficient for that wickedness. God can meet that need. And parent, if you've got a child that is wayward, can I tell you this morning, God can and will, by his grace, bring them through the trials and the difficulties that they might look to him. Now, no parent likes to see that, but let me tell you something. Better that their body perish than that their soul perish. I've had parents that have prayed the prayer, God, do whatever it takes. Just cause them to look up. I want to take just a moment here. Parent, don't just assume that because a child made a profession at 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever, that was a reality. Now, I don't want to dismiss it. But if a child makes a profession at 4 or 5 and then at 12 or 13 says, Mom, I just made a profession of faith, say, rejoice with them. Don't say, oh, no, you did it back at 3 or 4. Don't say, okay, if God... Now, you can investigate it a little bit. Maybe they're feeling guilty about some particular sin or whatever. But, folks, don't ever negate a child saying, I'm a sinner and I need to come to Christ. I need to trust Jesus for my soul's salvation. But look at Manasseh. Manasseh was a wicked, wicked man. We read, and I'm not going to do it again, but you can read verses 3 through 7. And you talk about wicked, but God set his love upon him, and God spoke to him, he rejected, and then verse 11 says, wherefore the Lord brought them, the captains of the host of the king of Assyria. And so, you're never too wicked to turn to the Lord. So many times it is true that children of believers, when they depart, do so in a more wicked manner than the children of unbelievers. And I think we have an example of that in Hezekiah and Manasseh. But we look at the long-suffering of our God. Today in Sunday school, we looked at Malachi, I think it's 3:7, 3:6, somewhere, where it says, I, the Lord God, change not. Aren't you glad that he doesn't change? That his mercies are new every morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 21 says, but to Israel, again, the people of God, the visible people of God, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Turn with me, if you will. Keep your finger, because we're coming back to 2 Chronicles. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then we get to verses 14 and 15. How then shall they believe on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Can I tell you this morning, parents, that you are the preacher. You're the one that's been sent to your child. And it may be that you will speak to them and that you will tell them of the grace of God. Or it may be that you will take them where they will sit under the hearing of the Word of God. I remember when the Lane boys were courting my daughters, and Mr. Lane would come to me and say, "Why do you, my sons love to do things at your house that they would never think of doing at my house?" Or some such. That's not an exact quote, but it's pretty close. And you know, they were interested in my daughters, and they were willing. I remember one time one of them crawled up in my attic and got a dead cat out of the attic, you know, and they happily and joyfully did that as my son sat back and said, "That's wonderful." But sometimes it is that our children will listen to others better than they'll listen to us. You know what that tells me? That says you better have good friends. You better have people that will come alongside you and that will teach what you'll say and what you do. But more importantly than your words, you know, sometimes people will sit down their kids and they'll preach to them. Folks, let me tell you something. I think sometimes it's more important than our words is our actions. Turn over with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I know that this is in a different context, but I think the principle is the same. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," if the husbands don't obey the word, "they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the way of their wives, while they behold your chaste way of life or conversation coupled with fear." I believe that your words or your actions are more important than your words. As they behold your chaste conversation, as they behold your love for the mother and father, as they behold your love for the children, as they behold your love for the community of God that is around you, as they behold your faithfulness. You know, a lot of parents like to do what I say, not what I do. That doesn't work, folks. That doesn't work. May they see your chaste, your godly way of life. And may they behold your service to the Lord. May they behold your love not only to God, but may they behold your love towards them. Not as the scriptures in Ephesians and Colossians says, stirring them up to anger or to wrath. How do you do that? By being inconsistent, by being angry yourself. The book of Proverbs says, don't go with an angry man. I think children and most people are just adverse to being around those that are angry. And lastly, they need to behold your love for them and just enjoying being with them. If you don't enjoy being with your children, they know that. I'm not saying that you need to be their buddy or their pal. You're always their parent. But you can be fun and you can have fun with your parents, with your children. And you can show the love of Christ. So number one, we've said that if you will not listen to God easily, God can and will do it the hard way. Number two, we have said that you're never too wicked to turn to the Lord. Number three, it is never too late to serve the Lord. Look it with me back to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. It is never too late to serve the Lord. Verses 15 and 16. This is Manasseh. He took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Now it's not a part of the message, but I want to go on to verse 17. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places. Yet unto the Lord their God only. So there was sort of a syncretism. There was sort of combination. And just to make a comment that you can't undo the consequences of a life that is not lived for the Lord. There will always be consequences, and I think we'll see that in a couple different ways. But the point that I want to make this morning is that it's never too late to serve the Lord. I knew of a man that was in his mid-80s traveling to a mission field, and people would come to him and say, when are you going to stop traveling to the mission field? When are you going to stop doing this kind of stuff? He'd be on the roof repairing roofs. He'd be on the second story working on things and all. And he said, well, you know, Moses did his best work after 80. And that was his attitude. I mean, I don't think he slowed down until he was until the Lord called him home. Judith Collins just is turning 80 this year. And let me tell you something, she's not slowed down. Now, you might say, but I'm 80 and it's hard to get around, and it's hard to do. I'm not saying that you have to do what these others have done, but you're never too old to serve the Lord. You're never too late to serve the Lord. There's not a person here that is too old to serve the Lord. And you may ask the question, how can I serve the Lord? I'm glad you asked that question. I was hoping you would ask that question. How can I, as an older person, serve the Lord? How, as a younger person, can I serve the Lord? And I'm going to say more about this in the future, but I want to the Lord has laid it upon my heart. They say that a young person that is touched or that is encouraged by three other older people, older than themselves, I don't mean old as in 120 years old, but in other, I'm trying to stay out of trouble. They say that young people that are encouraged and touched by older generations are more likely, humanly speaking, to stay serving and honoring the Lord. So I'm speaking to anybody over the age of 20, let's say 25, just as an arbitrary. Speaking to all those over 25 and say, one of the ways that you can serve the Lord is by taking an interest in someone who is younger than you are. I'm speaking from 6 years old to the 25 years old. 6 to 25. And they say that when three people take an interest in that particular child, now I'm not talking about, say, well, I've got 7 children or 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 or 13. I've got enough on my hands. Well, those you ought to take an interest in. But I'm talking about somebody else. And I'm not expecting everybody, but I want to just submit this for your thinking. For your prayerful consideration, that who could you pray for on a regular basis that is from, say, 6 to 25? You say, why are you leaving the 1 to 6 out? Well, I'm just trying to, if you want somebody younger, you can, but they can communicate with you, they can talk with you. It's ironic. Providential, whatever terminology you would like to. I saw these advertised. It's Pray For Me. It's called a prayer guide. About 3 months ago. And I said, you know, I want to utilize that. And time and busyness all got away from me, and I put it on the back burner. Well, I go up to the CEF conference, and here there's a table that's advertising these things. I said, oh, that's good. That, you know, I wanted to do that. And then the first guy gets up, and he mentions this about how he talked about Josiah. We haven't even gotten to Josiah yet. But he talked about how Josiah, why did Josiah, the grandson of wicked King Manasseh, how was it that he, at 8 years old, had an understanding of godliness? And he made the postulation, and we're going to share some of this at a future time, but I want to get a sort of jump on it, that that wicked King Manasseh, who came to know the Lord, then had an interest in his grandson. it was too late for a son. You notice we read the text, he was only 2 years and he was a wicked, wicked man. But he could have had an influence on his grandson. And so how do we have that influence on the young people that are around us? And in one sense, I'm targeting, say, the 60 and over generation. I'm not there yet. But I'm sort of focusing on the 60 and other, because those under 60 are still active, involved in raising their own children. But I think some of the older folks, they feel, what can I do for the Lord? How can I serve the Lord? Well, I want to give you this way. And I would encourage you, I've bought a number of those, of these back with me. And it's a 13-week prayer guide of, and it prays scripture. That's what I love about it. Pray scripture. And they, you put the name of the child in there. And you might want to take one or two, but don't take a dozen. Take one or two and all. And so I want to encourage those over 60. And I want to ask you to do me a favor. If you are willing to take a child or two and pray for them in a intensive and intentional way for the next 13 weeks, and I'm going to start this in June, I want you to take, and I hope the head usher has done his job, but And I want you to take that prayer card that's in your thing and say, I would like to be included in that. And you can hand it me thing. I would like to serve the Lord in this capacity. Now, if you're under 60 years of age, I'll consider giving you a book too. But I've only got a certain quantity of them. But my focus is there just because of our message and some other things. But if you would take that card and you'd say, yes, I'd be willing to do that, and then we'll see where else the Lord leads that in the future. But as we conclude this morning, first of all, remember that if you will not listen easily, God can and will do it the hard way. We see that in the life of Manasseh. Number two, you're never too wicked to turn to the Lord. We see that in Manasseh. And number three, it's never too late to serve the Lord. You're never too old to serve the Lord. As we conclude, can I just say this? What has the Lord done for us? The Lord has sent His Son to die for us. And I would pray that if there's a young person, if there's an older person here today that is just playing a game, that today they would say, Lord, you know my heart, you know my mind, forgive me of my sin. I want to trust you and you alone this morning. Let us pray. Father, our desire is for your Son to be seen and heard this morning, even in and through the life of Manasseh. Lord, give us understanding of these things, and we ask that you would move our hearts. Pray, Lord, if there's one here tonight, day that doesn't know you, that, Lord, you would save them. That they would say, I'm tired of playing the game. I'm tired of putting on a facade. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I need His forgiveness. I need the hope that only He can give. And, Lord, we give you the thanks and the praise. Father, for those of us that know you, Lord, may we understand and know there's never any sin that's too big for you to forgive. And Lord, we ask that you would wash them and cleanse them as you have faithfully told us that you would do.
Father, we pray that even this morning, that no matter what our age, that we would yield ourselves to you and say, Lord, take us, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.